It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okbanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that some
Colbert.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having a great Monday. Hope your weekend was outstanding. I'm very, very happy to be back inside the friendly confines of the Shirley Street Studio, as I am your host, Colbert. Last time we got together, I was in St. Louis for the Missouri Valley Conference Men's Basketball Tournament. That, of course, did not turn out the way that any of us wanted, as the UNI Panthers went down in the semifinals to Loyola Chicago, and Drake Bulldogs, led by Darren DeVries, were able to get to the Valley Championship game for the second straight year, but unable to get the W, as the Ramblers, who are headed to the Atlantic 10 Conference this summer, get that Valley Championship win, and they've got a really good team. I mean, I've seen that team enough now, twice in person. They're just really, really good. And they've got a really good young coach in Drew Valentine, who, man, my goodness, I don't know what was in his coffee Saturday morning, but he was so theatrical on the sideline. I had a friend of mine asking me about the technical that Drew Valentine did get in that game against UNI, and I said, he's like, man, he was going crazy on the sideline. And I said, well, that didn't have anything to do with the technical that he got. When he was going crazy on the sideline, it was at the start of the game when Loyola came out with just a really, like, aggressive defense that was getting all sorts of deflections and just causing all sorts of trouble for UNI. And he was trying to just double and triple and quadruple down, turning back to his team and pumping them up. And you could tell how much he knew that establishing that kind of defense early on in a game against that UNI team and the way that they go about their business was just going to be the game. And credit to him. So we'll talk about UNI's loss, and we'll hear audio from UNI coach Ben Jacobson on today's show. That's coming up in the third segment. Some good stuff from Coach Jake today. Saw him at the noon press conference over at the alumni suite at the McLeod Center. He gives his review of the Loyola game, talks about the emotional roller coaster that him and his team have been on the past couple of months, whether or not he thinks that they'll get a chance to host an NIT game, because, yes, the Panthers, as the Missouri Valley Conference regular season champions, are an automatic bid into the 32-team NIT field. And it looks, too, that the Drake Bulldogs will also be in the NIT. And I would say that Missouri State deserves to be in the NIT as well, quite frankly. I don't know why they would be left out. I don't know why there should be anything wrong with three Missouri Valley teams in the NIT. I think in a perfect world, and I'll talk more about this in the third segment today with some of the audio we'll get to from Coach Jake, that with the Valley expanding and adding two really high-quality teams in Murray State and Belmont, that there should be two Valley. I very much think the Valley can go back to being a year-in, year-out, two-bid league into the NCAA tournament. Two teams into the NCAA tournament, year-in and year-out. I think the new commissioner, Jeff Jackson, just absolutely hit it out of the park with adding Murray State, Belmont, and UIC after Loyola announced earlier late this past year, that they'd be departing for the A-10. I think we're going to get back into one of those eras in the Valley, as Mitch Holtis would call it, America's Renaissance Conference, where it's going to be a two-bid league. And then beyond that, because of the depth of the league and expanding, right, to 12 teams, I mean, I think it should be at least two teams in the NIT every year, if not three some years. In some years, I do think that it's possible, and I'll say this again in the third segment today, I think it's on the table the way the Valley sets up going forward with the additions of Murray State and Belmont that you could talk about there being some years, probably one in every 6 to 8 years is no more than what it would be to be realistic and quite frank about it, but back on the table to get three teams in the NCAA tournament some years. Murray State has won 30 games this year. What if Murray State wins 30 games in the Valley next year, loses in the Valley Tournament Championship, and then you've got another team, say, like you and I, who loses in the Valley semifinals, the Valley Tournament semifinals, to that Murray State team, and say you and I has 25 wins against 7 losses in a net ranking in the 50s. There you go. There's your recipe. Three Valley teams right there. Obviously, some dominoes got to fall the right way, but I think it's back in the equation. And that's got to be exciting if you're a UNI or a Drake fan or just a Valley fan, because we know there's connections. All sorts of folks here in the state of Iowa have connections to Valley schools. So, yeah, just kind of wanted to start there since I was obviously made the pilgrimage down to St. Louis. I think I may have driven through a derecho about 25 minutes north of Hannibal, Missouri, to almost the Iowa border. That was a little dicey, as you know, you're honestly hearing the news about some of the deaths in around Winterset. Just heartbreaking on hearing that on Radio Iowa this morning. Some of the details about a dad and a couple kids. It's you know, your thoughts go out to everybody that was affected by the severe storms that we did get on Saturday. So I was thankful that I was able to make it through, because, man, it was tough weather to drive through in that storm system, where it was stretched all through the state of Iowa at one point, up into Wisconsin and down into Missouri. It's that time of year where we don't know if we're getting 5 inches of snow or 5 inches of rain and thunderstorms and tornadoes. It's crazy. So just know that we always do our best throughout severe weather season. We take it very seriously here across all of our four Koloff media stations in Cedar Falls to break in whenever there is severe weather in our listening areas. So just know that in case your phone runs out of juice, or, you know, the lights turn off. That's why it's always useful to have a radio around, as old school as it might sound. So keep that in mind with severe weather season having already made an ugly appearance so far here in the year 2022. All right, however you are tuned in today, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. Like the Facebook page, 1650 The Fan, and follow us on Twitter at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColbert, and check out the website, all new website, 1650thefan.com. That's where you get the podcast of this show. Bookmark it, make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Number to dial if you want to join in with any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479. You could also email the show if you'd rather do that. Email address is cole@1650thefan.com. All right, coming up today on the show, as always, we lead it off with area sports news and scores. A lot to get to, and we'll do so in just a few short moments. After we're done there, we take timeout number one, get you a CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update from Brent Musburger and the guys in Vegas, as well as forecast for the rest of this Monday, looking into tomorrow and Wednesday. We'll come back from that first break, and John Walters, the outstanding play-by-play voice of Iowa State men's basketball, is set to join us as usual, and we will break down what was what could have been loss for the Cyclones against Baylor on Saturday. And now it's Big 12 tournament time, and the Cyclones will take on Texas Tech. More details in a moment on that one, but we'll break it all down with John, look back at that Baylor loss, and look ahead to a quarterfinal game on Thursday night in the Big 12 tournament against the Red Raiders. That's in the next segment. After we're done there, we will take A timeout near the bottom of the hour. Get your Radio Iowa Sports from Todd Kim. We'll come back from that break, and as I mentioned earlier, we'll get you the Ben Jacobson audio as the UNI Panthers are looking ahead to the NIT, and that will start next week, and the field will be unveiled Sunday at 6:30 on ESPNU, so make a note of that. After we're done in that third segment, hearing from Coach Jake, we'll take the final timeout and get you Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Come back from that break and wrap up the show. That's the plan for a Monday, boys and girls. Let's dive right in. The Dyke New Hartford girls basketball team, in case you missed it, claimed its second straight Class 2A state championship on Saturday. Peyton and Jaden Peterson each recorded their third double-doubles in as many state tournament games to lead the Wolverines. Peyton, who was named captain of the all-tournament team, scored 23 points and grabbed 13 rebounds. Jaden, also an all-tournament pick, added 15 points and 12 rebounds. The Wolverines finished their season 25-2. Congratulations to Bruce Dahl and all the Wolverines. Yesterday in high school hockey, the Des Moines Oaks defeated the Waterloo Warriors 4-3 in the third-place game at the Midwest High School Hockey League Tournament. The Oaks built a 4-1 lead early in the third period and then held off a furious Waterloo comeback attempt. The boys' basketball state tournament got underway today in Des Moines. Quarterfinal games taking place in classes 1A and 2A. Two area schools are competing at the state tournament this week. Tomorrow afternoon at 12:15, it's a 2A quarterfinal. 7-seed Jessup goes against 2nd-seed Rock Valley. And then Wednesday afternoon at 2 in a 4A quarterfinal, your 2nd-seed Cedar Falls Tigers take on 7-seed Cedar Rapids Prairie. You'll be able to listen to that game right here on The Fan on Wednesday. Pre-game coverage begins at 1:45. Waterloo native Haley Eckerman has been named the new head volleyball coach at Kent State, a former All-State selection at Waterloo East. Eckerman starred at the University of Texas, where she was a four-time All-American and a member of the 2012 national champion team. Following her college career, she played professionally in Europe, Asia, and Puerto Rico. Her coaching career began when she was the head coach at Waterloo West in 2018. She served as an assistant coach at TCU this past season. Eckerman takes over a Golden Flashes team that was 12-18 last season. The Iowa Football Coaches Association held its annual awards ceremony this past Saturday, and a pair of area coaches were selected as Regional Coaches of the Year. In Class A, Grundy Center's Travis Zajac was selected. Zajac guided the Spartans to the Class A finals. And Don Betts of Dyke New Hartford was chosen in Class 1A. Betts helped lead the Wolverines to the 1A semifinals. 20th-ranked Illinois clinched a share of its first Big Ten regular season title in 17 years with a 74-72 win over number 24 Iowa last night. The Illini, which trailed by as many as 15 in the first half, also clinched the number one seed in the Big Ten tournament. Keegan Murray led Iowa with 22 points and 11 rebounds. Iowa hurt themselves, making just 10-for-22 at the charity stripe. The loss snapped a five-game Hawkeye winning streak. Iowa finishes 12-8 in the Big Ten and will be the number 5 seed in this week's Big Ten tournament in Indianapolis, meaning it will have to win 4 games in 4 days to win the tourney. Iowa sophomore forward Keegan Murray has been named the Big Ten co-player of the week. It's the 6th time he's earned the award this season. Last week in 3 games, he averaged just shy of 24 points, had 12 rebound average, 3 blocks, and 2 assists. He's also been named first-team All-American by Sporting News. He's the only player nationally to average 23-plus points, 8-plus rebounds, and 2-plus blocks this season, and one of the three players from a major conference, or one of three players from a major conference with those averages over the last decade. The Iowa Hawkeyes, sticking with the Hawks, they remain at number 24 in this week's AP Top 25. Gonzaga continues to be number 1, Arizona 2nd, and Baylor 3rd. Monica Sinano scored 30, and Caitlin Clark added 18 as number 12 Iowa captured its 2nd Big Ten tournament title in 4 years, beating number 14 Indiana 74-67 yesterday. The league's regular season co-champs have now won 7 straight to earn an NCAA tournament automatic bid. The run helped the Hawkeyes clinch home court advantage in the first 2 rounds of the NCAA tournament. Those pairings are scheduled to be announced on March 14th. It's the first time that Iowa has won the regular season and tourney titles in the same season. And speaking of Caitlin Clark, she's been named a finalist for the Nancy Lieberman Award. The Nancy Lieberman Award recognizes the top point guard in women's NCAA Division I college basketball. The sophomore was named Big Ten Player of the Year and Big Ten Tournament MVP already. Two members of the Iowa State basketball team have received honors from the Big 12. Isaiah Brockington, All-Big 12 First Team, Big 12 Newcomer of the Year, and, of course, named to the Big 12 All-Newcomer Team. Point guard Tyrese Hunter, recognized as Big 12 Freshman of the Year, and, of course, on the Big 12 All-Freshman Team. Iowa State enters that Big 12 tournament game against Texas Tech Thursday night with a 20-11 record. That is an 8:30 tip-off, 7:30 pregame right here on The Fan. Missouri locked up the team title at the Big 12 Wrestling Tournament yesterday. The Tigers finished with 131.5 points. Oklahoma was second. Iowa State was third. UNI was fifth. Iowa State redshirt junior David Carr won his third straight Big 12 championship at 157. Carr, along with seven other teammates, earned automatic bids to the NCAA championships. At-large berths are going to be announced tomorrow. Brackets and seeds announced on Wednesday. Parker Kekhuizen of UNI won his second consecutive championship at 184. UNI will have a total of seven automatic qualifiers to the NCAA championships. In the Big Ten, Michigan captured the wrestling tournament championship. The Hawkeyes' Alex Marinelli captured his fourth conference crown, winning the 165-pound title, and the Hawkeyes qualified all 10 wrestlers to the NCAA championships, which will be held March 17th through the 19th in Detroit. Drake, as I mentioned, not dancing this March. Loyola beat the Bulldogs yesterday 64-58 to win the Valley Conference tournament title at Enterprise Center in St. Louis. Drake expected to be in the NIT. The UNI volleyball team has announced the addition of Sydney Peterson to the program's roster for the upcoming 2022 season. Peterson, of course, native of Dyke and daughter of Panther head coach Bobby Peterson, will join the program for her final season of eligibility as a transfer from the University of Texas. The 2016 Class 2A Player of the Year helped lead the Wolverines, if you recall, to three state championships and a second-place finish as well. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN Action Update, and a forecast all coming your way. When we come back, John Walters stops by, the play-by-play voice of Iowa State men's basketball. That's next, right here on Cole & Company.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, the Falcons' Calvin Ridley was suspended for the entire 2022 season for gambling on games, including those involving the Falcons, according to reports. Ridley was away from the team because of illness in November when the incident took place. The league said no insider information was used, no games were compromised. Aaron Rodgers has a decision to make on his future shortly. The Packers trying to alleviate that concern. ESPN reports the team has offered the MVP in an extension that will help both sides, alleviating some cap space for the Packers while making Rodgers one of the highest paid quarterbacks in the game, and that contract will take him into his 40s. The Chiefs are using their franchise tag on 25-year-old left tackle Orlando Brown, while the Bengals are going to tag safety Jesse Bates. The Patriots are reportedly releasing linebacker Kyle Van Noy, while Colts tight end Jack Doyle is retiring after 9 years in the NFL, all in his hometown of Indianapolis. Two automatic bids will be handed out tonight, with Louisiana taking on Georgia State in the Sun Belt Final. Furman and Chattanooga battle in the SoCon Championship. I'm Rich Acker.
The Colts should ditch Carson Wentz, but will they? And how about the Lions taking a QB in the draft? The quarterback carousel is spinning later on the Zach Gelb Show. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific.
CBS Sports Radio.
Don't miss a moment of March Madness. Lock your radio to 1650 The Fan for NCAA tournament coverage.
Cedar Falls Schools is looking to fill a number of positions, from paraeducators to food service professionals. Paraeducators play such a key role in education, and the rewards are endless. From K-12 general education and preschool classes to special education teams and media center assistants, you'll love providing support to the students in Cedar Falls Schools. In either group or individual settings, you'll work closely with students to help them attain their individual goals, and ultimately, you'll help them reach their full potential. Enjoy competitive wages and benefits, plus all paraeducators are included in the Iowa Public Employees Retirement System. Plus, working as a paraeducator is a great way to align your work schedule to your child's school schedule. Food service positions are also super rewarding, flexible, and only require 3 to 5.5 hours per day, with competitive wages, plus paid time off benefits, and you get your summers free. Go to cfschools.org/employment or call 553-2443 for more information. Come find your next calling with Cedar Falls Schools.
Are you planning to stream all the basketball madness in March? Make sure your home's internet connection has the speed you need for a winning viewing experience. Waverly Utilities offers super fast internet plans with download speeds up to 1 gig and no data caps. Sign up for a new or upgraded plan now. Faster internet is a game changer with Waverly Utilities.
Making life better, making life easy, Waverly Utilities.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Get the edge you need to complete your best bracket ever. VSiN's Bracket Betting Guide is just $3.99 at vsin.com/hoops. That's vsin.com/hoops.
The Players' Championship Thursday through Sunday in Florida. Justin Thomas winning last year's tournament. He's second on the odds board this time around at plus 1,400, along with Rory McIlroy. John Rahm, the favorite at plus 800. Colin Morikawa, plus 1,600. NHL, the latest futures have the Avalanche, the favorite to win the Stanley Cup at plus 400. The Lightning at plus 600. Panthers, plus 700. Big Ten basketball tournament getting underway this week. Purdue, the odds-on favorite at plus 190. Illinois at plus 300. Iowa, plus 460, Wisconsin at plus 800, and Ohio State at plus 1100. NBA tonight, the Bulls on the road against the Sixers. Chicago, a 6.5-point road underdog. The over-under at 229. The Bulls on a 4-game skid.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Lows dip down to about 19 tonight under clear skies, westerly winds 5 to 10 miles an hour. High of 43 tomorrow, bright sunshine expected. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 21. Mainly cloudy skies expected Wednesday with highs in the low 30s. Chance for snow Thursday, about an inch of snow Wednesday night. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now it's 32.
Hey, who wants to have some fun?
Cole and Company with Colbert.
I do.
On 1650 The Fan.
Now, you just saying you want to have fun, or do you really want to have fun?
Kicks it out. Akinjo fumbled the pass. It's knocked away. It's stolen by Isaiah Brockington. Now Grill on the right baseline drive. Shovels to Coons for the layup, and the Cyclones lead it. 60-58 Iowa State. Jazz Coons lays it in.
Yeah, you heard that game over on our companion station Saturday evening as the Iowa State Cyclones, man. It looked like they were going to be able to pull an upset in Waco against the Baylor Bears, but the Bears, they ultimately proved why they are ranked number 3 in the country. So to talk about that narrow loss and look ahead to the Big 12 Conference Tournament, Iowa State men's basketball play-by-play voice John Walters joins us. You just heard him there on the highlight call of Jazz Kunch with the layup there and a two-point game. John, man, what a game Saturday. I think, coaches will say there's no moral victories or anything, but to play a quality top-shelf team like Baylor like that before tournament play begins, whether it be the Big 12 or the NCAA, there's got to be something to take out of a game like that.
Well, I think there is. I went into the game personally just wanting to see Iowa State play well and play like they're capable of, and so that you would go into the Big 12 Conference Tournament with a good feeling. And, you know, it didn't quite start out that way, getting down 29-4. But the resiliency that that group of guys showed to just chip away and keep fighting and come all the way back and take the lead on a couple of occasions in the second half was just really impressive. And it was a great game. You know, Baylor answered the bell at both times that Iowa State took the lead. That basket you just played, and then there was another occasion when Iowa State went up one. Both times, Baylor came right down, and they hit a three-point shot. And it was, you know, two of their best players, Flagler and Akinjo, that did it. And so they answered the bell when Iowa State, had them on the ropes a little bit. And so great game. Baylor is an excellent team. And, I think you come out of that if you're Iowa State's players knowing that you can beat anybody in this conference. You know, you've had a one-point loss now in Fieldhouse. You've had that very hard fought, two really hard fought close battles with Baylor, a win over Texas Tech, a split with them. You know that you can beat anybody in this league if you play right. And so I think that gives this team a lot of confidence going down to Kansas City.
And John, I think it was important too, because coming off of what took place Wednesday night in that loss to Oklahoma State, where you score a season low 36 points, you just want to see the ball go through the hoop and You know, definitely flushed that game, and I would expect they had already pretty much all but flushed it. And I think it's important to point out that the few times that the Cyclones offense has had those really considerable struggles this year, they've bounced back in the next game. So it was good to see that once again on Saturday.
Yeah, and I think that shows you the other extreme, that, you know, if you aren't accomplishing the things you need to accomplish, you can have a night like that where you're going to get beat pretty thoroughly. And so I think it's important to understand both of those possibilities going into this kind of an event. You know, I mean, if you look at the tournament, you say, okay, what's Iowa State's path to winning it? In all likelihood, it would be you've got to beat Texas Tech, Kansas, or Texas Tech, Baylor, and then Kansas in that order. You know, that's a tall task. You got to take out the top three teams in the conference. But I think that's what is in store for Iowa State if they're going to win this championship. So, you know, you're gonna have to be at your best without a doubt to have a chance to do that. And you know, if Iowa State was able to go in there and beat those three teams, I mean, wow, that would open some eyes, certainly for the NCAA committee members. And I think Iowa State is very safely in the tournament, but their seed's going to depend a little bit on what they do down in Kansas City. And, you know, I think if they could get to the final, at least it would really improve their chances of maybe moving up a seed or two.
Yeah, I mean, if you beat Baylor and Kansas, I would definitely think the committee would show you some love and improve you on the seed lines. And what's the latest, if any, you've heard, John, about where the Cyclones may end up in terms of seed in the NCAA tournament?
Well, I look at that stuff. I mean, I look at the bracketology, and, you know, most of them have Iowa State right around an 8 seed in an 8-9 game. The huge disadvantage to that, if you do get in that 8-9 game, obviously, is that you have to play number 1 seed. Now, what's the even bigger disadvantage? I think that, you know, if Kansas and Baylor both get number 1 seeds, as they're projected to do right now, that means you cannot go to their region. So it eliminates two regions for you. And then also, it means you're going to face either Arizona or Gonzaga in all likelihood if you get out of that first round. And I don't think there's two teams in the country playing better right now than Arizona and Gonzaga. I think those are probably the top two teams in college basketball. So it's going to be a tough road if you end up in an 8-9 game. But hey, it doesn't matter. You're in the tournament. You roll with ice. You go play. And that would mean beating somebody anyway to get to that game. So I don't think the seeding matters as much as it does just being in there and getting to go someplace and have it be a great reward for this team. And then once you're there, it's like, hey, let's cut it loose and play and have some fun and see if we can surprise some people. But mostly I'm seeing 8 and 9. Up until last week when Iowa State lost to Oklahoma State, they were mentioned a lot as a 7. And they could still get there, as I mentioned. You know, you beat Texas Tech, first of all, that's a huge win. And then if you were able to beat Kansas, so knock off Baylor or whatever, I mean, you're going to get some attention of people. I mean, the winner of the Big 12 tournament is going to have really earned it and is going to raise their status considerably. And, you know, if you can get to that point, then I could see Iowa State moving up to a 7 line or even a 6 if they were able to win the whole thing.
John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network, our guest right now on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. Give John a follow on Twitter, at JW Cyclones TV. Some awards coming in from the Big 12 for Isaiah Brockington, all Big 12 first team, newcomer of the year. And then Tyrese Hunter, the outstanding freshman point guard, wins freshman of the year. John, I think people, the listeners and Cyclone fans in the audience would just like to know, you know, what you've seen and what's impressed you most about those two young guys, because there's been obviously a lot of talented players come through the Cyclone program. You know, even, you know, just in the past, you know, 7-8 years, there's been an incredible amount of talent that's earned a lot of accolades, rightfully so. But what about Isaiah Brockington and Tyrese Hunter really sticks out to you, being up close and personal and watching them play ball?
Well, I think with Isaiah, you know, Big 12 newcomer of the year, first team all Big 12, somehow he wasn't unanimous as first team all Big 12. I'd love to know which coach didn't vote for him as a first-team All-Big 12 selection. But that aside, I'm really happy for him to get those two honors. And it's his work ethic. You know, it's the fact that when he prepares, he prepares himself as if it's a game. He's never taken a minute off. He's really focused and intent on having a great, great season. That's exactly what he's done. And, you know, I think he found a great situation for him coming into Iowa State where he could kind of be the alpha dog, and he's made for that. You know, you want him with the ball in his hands late in games because he wants to take that shot, and I think his teammates want him to take that shot, and it's hard to guard him. You know, he can get a shot off against pretty much anybody. So super excited for him, richly deserved, I believe. And then with Tyrese Hunter, you know, you're talking about one of the very few true freshmen in the Big 12 Conference. There aren't many. The only three I saw that were really even candidates for the Big 12 Freshman of the Year that were true freshmen were Sohan and Kendall Brown at Baylor and Tyrese Hunter. I think Tyrese, by the virtue of, you know, being in the top three in the league in both assists and steals, being the top freshman scorer in the Big 12, was a great choice for that honor. And you know, with him, it's just how steady he's been. It's hard enough being a freshman, a true freshman playing in the Big 12. I just mentioned there's really only three of them that have played a significant role. It's an older league. It's an older college basketball now. You're playing against 22, 23-year-old guys every night. And for Tyrese to not only handle that, but handle it from the point guard position, which is the most demanding position in basketball. It's like being the quarterback in football. I think just speaks volumes about his mental approach to the game and how he doesn't let things bother him. He just moves on to the next play. And we've seen him get better and better as the season's gone on. He had 13 assists the other day at Baylor. It was just outstanding. You know, he's really been playing his best basketball at the end of the season. So that excites me, too. If you're a point guard, it's kind of like in hockey. You know, you get a hot goalie going into the Stanley Cup playoffs. You can ride that for a while. And you know, obviously, he's still a freshman, but Tyrese is playing some great basketball. And you love riding that into the Big 12 and NCAA tournaments as well.
John, it was a season split in the regular season between the Cyclones and Red Raiders. So having seen what worked and what didn't work, what do you think will be key to get a win Thursday night in that Big 12 tournament quarterfinal?
You know, I don't know how much you can really take from those first two meetings because Texas Tech wasn't at full strength when they came into Ames, and Iowa State beat them very, very early in the conference season. And then when Iowa State went down to Lubbock, you know, they were down two at the half. They were playing pretty well, and then they just couldn't make anything. And Texas Tech got some live ball turnovers and really pulled away from them in the second half. But since then, we've seen Iowa State go to a different lineup combination by putting Jade Walker on the floor, playing Jazz Coonsmore at the five. So I'm not sure you can draw a ton of conclusions from those first two games. Mm-hmm. But let's just say this. They were competitive games, and Iowa State can play with Texas Tech. Now, Texas Tech is a tough, tough matchup. They're interchangeable 6'4 to 6'7, 6'8 type guys that are strong, physical guys. And, man, you're going to have to make some three-point shots. I guess to answer your question, what would be a key to beating them, I think you've got to make some threes. Texas Tech will let you shoot some threes because they're going to absolutely take away the paint. That's their priority, is to take away your ability to get into the paint. And sometimes three-pointers are a heck of a lot easier to make if you can get the paint touch first, you know, and kick it inside out. So that'll be a challenge for Iowa State. But if they can make shots, I think they'll have a great chance. And, you know, I do expect a defensive battle. I expect it to be, you know, mid-50s to low-60s.
Yeah.
That would be pretty typical for these two teams. And, you know, it's going to be a slugfest, let's face it. But that's what you expect. And, you know, it'll depend a lot on how the game is called. But I think if Iowa State's able to knock down some perimeter shots in particular, they'll give themselves a great chance.
And finally, John, before I let you go, it's the final Cyclone Coach's Corner of the season tonight from 6:30 to 8. We'll hear it right here on The Fan. What's on the itinerary?
So we've got Micah Byers coming in to represent men's basketball. He's director of basketball operations, was under Fred and continues to be under TJ and Steve Prohm. I mean, he's been around for quite a while. And Micah does a fantastic job in that role. And I'm really fascinated to talk to him about the senior name on Selection Sunday. What goes into the scramble to get ready to play that first NCAA tournament game in terms of finding a place to practice, you know, what's your hotel, what's your where are you going to eat, what day are you leaving, what day are you coming back. I mean, there's just so much that goes into that stuff, and I wonder how much you can do in advance and how much of it you have to just kind of wait and see where you get sent. So I'm interested to talk to him, but also to talk to him about this team. He knows these guys very well, and I think he's very proud of what they've accomplished. So looking forward to that. He'll be in at 6:30. We'll have Bill Fenley in at 7:15. His team, you know, runner-ups in the Big 12 and had three first-team All-Big 12 selections today in Lexi Konarski, Emily Ryan, and Ashley Jones. So lots of good stuff going on with both programs, and looking forward to tonight.
Sounds good, John. We'll be tuned in. Have a good show, and we'll catch up again next week, hopefully after a really good Big 12 tournament performance for the Cyclones.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me, Cole.
Thanks, John. John Walters, Cyclone Radio Network, kind enough to join us on a Monday edition of Cole & Company. And yeah, as I mentioned, tune in tonight, 6:30 to 8. Can you believe it? We're here. It's the last Cyclone Coach's Corner of the season. All throughout football and men's and women's basketball season, you listen to the Cyclone Coach's Corner from 6:30 to 8 on Monday nights here on The Fan. And of course, they will talk track and field and all the other sports that go on throughout that same time in the calendar. And tonight is the last one for the 2021-22 sports season. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up now. On the other side, we'll hear audio from UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson. Coach Jake talks about the loss to Loyola in the MVC tournament semifinal, looking ahead to the NIT, and also gets into the weeds on some other stuff too, like RPI versus NET. Does Coach Jake like one better than the other? Does he say both are okay? Does he not like either? Well, stay tuned and you'll find out. You're listening to a Monday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
This is Sports on Radio Iowa. I'm Todd Kim.
Presented for the people by Caesars Sportsbook. We are all Caesars.
Lake Mills finally broke through at the boys' state basketball tournament. After two first-round exits, the Bulldogs took advantage of ice-cold Danville shooting to post a 39-22 win in today's Class 1A opener. Bennett Berger led Lake Mills. He finished with 13.
You got to be tough to win games down here. It's not all about offense and defense. You just got to be tough-minded, take care of the ball, rebound, and for the most part, I thought we did that well, and I think that's why we came out on top this year.
Danville made only 8 of 38 shots and misfired on all 17 from behind the arc. Also in 1A, Noah John's free throw with 1 second remaining in overtime was the game winner, as Grandview Christian held off an upset bid by Bellevue for a 64-63 win. College basketball, the Iowa Hawkeyes remain 24th in the latest AP Top 25. In the women's poll, the Hawkeyes are up to 8th. Iowa State is 10th. This is Radio Iowa.
To protect his home and family from disaster, Steve used courage, wisdom, and his camera phone.
That should do it.
Way to go, Steve! By simply taking digital pictures of his family's important documents, Steve can always have them stored safely online, no matter when disaster strikes. Learn other simple ways to protect your home and family before a natural disaster at ready.gov. That's ready.gov. A message from FEMA and the Ad Council.
Can't afford birth control? Need a pregnancy test? Think you have an STI? We're here. It's not awkward. It's your health. To find a clinic near you, visit idph.iowa.gov, search Family Planning. Family Planning clinics offer quality, confidential health care with free or low-cost birth control, STI screening, and help creating a plan for your health. Connect with a clinic to help you make the best decision for every stage of life. Brought to you by OPA Family Planning Services Grant and the Iowa Department of Public Health.
Winter weather is tough on our vehicles. At Tommy's Express Car Wash, we can clear away the salt, slush, and sand and leave your vehicle shiny like new. Our state-of-the-art dryers will quickly dry your vehicle, while our new ceramic wax will protect your paint all winter long. Just stop into our location at 3110 University Drive in Waterloo to keep the winter blues away and find out about our memberships. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
My name is Anna. I live in Cedar Falls. I was in a severe car accident. The driver did not have car insurance. I was actually severely injured. I had a lot of hospital bills that needed to be paid. I was a single mom. I called Ball Kirk and Home. Eshawn came and saw me while I was actually in the hospital. He explained everything thoroughly and how we were gonna get compensated. Eshawn really seemed like he genuinely cared about me and not just getting compensation for himself.
When a car or motorcycle accident injures you or your loved ones, you need a strong team of attorneys to protect your rights. Ballkirk & Holm has been in the Cedar Valley since 1958. Ballkirk & Holm are your local injury attorneys providing personalized representation at the highest level. For a free consultation, visit ballkirkholm.com.
I would highly recommend Ballkirk & Holm.
Ballkirk & Holm, helping injured Iowans since 1958.
I am very, very grateful.
Congratulations to our local high school athletes in the postseason from Brummel Madsen Insurance in Cedar Falls. Brummel Madsen is an authorized agent of Wellmark Blue Cross and Blue Shield.
What's the next big thing in farming? For better yield potential, it's working with Channel Seedsmen. Your local seedsman is Prime Ag Services in Reedland, or find one at channel.com.
Ettringer Automotive offers minor to major repair on foreign and domestic cars and light trucks. With expert work and reasonable prices, next time, trust Ettringer Automotive, Raymond.
You're listening to the Power Hour of Sports Talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekdays 5 to 6, right here on The Fan.
Welcome back. Monday edition of the show continues. Caught up with UNI men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson at noon today at the alumni suite at McLeod Center for the weekly UNI press conference. And yeah, tough Saturday for Panther fans as Loyola Chicago gets the best of the Panthers, 66-43, the final on that one. Panthers just absolutely could not buy a bucket. The jump shots were not falling, and a large part of that due to just incredibly aggressive and tenacious defense by the Ramblers. I know a lot's been made of just how physical Loyola was allowed to be in that game, and perhaps that the officials could have whistled more fouls, and then I know I saw it on Twitter, Panther fans watching the Valley title game with Drake and Loyola on Sunday yesterday and thinking that, wow, hey, look, it looks like Loyola's not being allowed to maybe hand check and just play aggressively quite like they were against the Panthers. But, I mean, you can have those debates nearly all the time, particularly this time of the year. And asked Ben Jacobson after the game about that particular thing, and he pushed back on it and said, hey, these games have been physical all season, and he didn't think it was a reason why his team ultimately did not win that game. So began basically right there back at the scene of the crime today with Coach Jake and asked him, hey, have you watched that film? And what did you think after having watched it? And it was interesting. Here's his reply.
Yeah, I didn't watch it yesterday. I thought about it, but I didn't. So yeah, I won't have specifics for you. And I've thought about a lot of different things. Maybe the two things I've thought about the most was how good we played defensively. Now, when I go back and watch it, maybe there's going to be some. Right, maybe there's going to be some plays or possessions where we didn't defend it great, but I still feel like we defended and played a really good game at that end of the floor. But the thing that I just keep thinking about is how hard we played. I mean, it wasn't offensively. It wasn't what we had been doing. Right? I mean, we have been playing so well at the offensive end of the floor, and things have been going, guys have been you know just making all kinds of stuff happen for us offensively, and our numbers have been really, really good. And so we didn't have that kind of offensive day, but I kept looking out there and we played our tails off. So I that gives you a chance in that setting. You have a chance, and we did. We had a chance down 8 right before half. They only score 5 points in the first 9 or so minutes of the second half, so it's 44-36. And we've got a couple of good possessions, a couple open shots to cut it farther than that. And then even later than that, not a great chance, around that 5-minute mark. It wasn't great, but it was still, two good plays for us in two stops. And it's, 5, 6, 7 points with 3.5 minutes left. So we still had a couple chances, even though we had a hard time getting some points. So the thing that I take most away from that game is how hard we played. Guys played their tails off. This is one of those days. I've said this over my years that I wish I there's moments when I wish I was a wrestling coach and I could say exactly what I want to say. Because Schwabe would use some different words, and I love him for it. But I'm a basketball coach, so
play pretend.
Yeah, but I'm gonna say they played their tails off is what I'm gonna say.
Pretty good stuff there from Ben Jacobson. Usually not quite keeps the emotions pretty close to the vest, but let it be known today. He wished he could have used some more colorful language. Want to make sure we can get to everything I want to get to. I know time's running a little thin. We went long with John Walters and at the top of the show. So, Coach Jake, what's the chances of hosting an NIT game?
I think we'll be just on the outside of it. If I had to guess, and I looked at a little bit of it yesterday, a little bit this morning, just looking at the teams, I think those top four seeds are going to get filled in before we get there. I really do. It just looks like we'll be a six, kind of, maybe a five, maybe a seven, I suppose. I mean, I didn't study it, but it appears that seeds one through four are going to get filled in before we would get to that spot when I looked at it.
And since it's that time of the year, we got the bubble, right? Bubble teams a lot of times are mid-majors hoping that they're going to get in. So I think this will probably be the last clip we get in today. I asked Coach Jacobson, the net ranking's been around for a few seasons now. It was the RPI for many years before that as the holier-than-thou metric on evaluating whether a bubble team should be in or out of the NCAA tournament. What are your thoughts now that net's been around for a while? Net versus RPI, do you think that, the net is as equitable for mid-majors as RPI was?
No, I think there are problems with both of them. I suppose, if there was a perfect net RPI, if there was a perfect one, I suppose they would have found it by now, right? I mean, there's going to be some problems with the formula and what gets weighted. To me, it's the problems lie elsewhere, and those are bigger ones that, in terms of that's for a long discussion, Cole. It's for a different day and a really long discussion. Simply when it comes to the net and the Ken Pom is obviously analytics driven. The RPI, there's going to be some flaws in that. What I can tell you is, take this year as an example for our team. The schedule ended up being perfect. Because Nichols, I believe, is either already in or they're the favorite to win theirs. Vermont lost four or five games, and did they win it? So, I think Vermont is already in. St. Bonaventure, Arkansas, Richmond. So the schedule ended up being perfect. We just needed to win some of them, right? And that to me is more the deal. Can you get the right schedule put together in November, December, which is getting more, it's been difficult for a long time. But can you get the right schedule? And then when you look back on it, and looking back on this one, our non-conference schedule was perfect. But we happened to have all the stuff going on that we all know, right? With the injuries to some guys, with Fife's situation with long haul COVID, and all of that happening at the wrong time for us as we were kind of late October through really mid-December, right? And we don't need to talk about that stuff. But the schedule, more to your question, the non-conference schedule was perfect. We played the right teams. We needed to win probably three or four of the five that we lost. At Arkansas, against Vermont, against Nichols, Richmond at home. If we win those four games, our numbers are, we're looking at it at a large bid. So, to me, that's the most important thing. There's things about the net and the RPI that, it's going to be what it's going to be, but do you have the right schedule? And we did this year.
There you go. Audio today from you and I, men's basketball coach Ben Jacobson. Let's take this final timeout. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. We'll get that to you now, and we'll come back, wrap up the show after this.
Start every car ride with peace of mind. Denver Insurance and Grinnell Mutual make sure you and your budget are well cared for. That's why we offer discounts for good students, safe driving, and more. Trust our coverage to move you forward. Trust in tomorrow. For more details and for all your insurance needs, contact me, Andrew Kaler, your local Grinnell Mutual agent at Denver Insurance today.
Trust in tomorrow is a registered trademark of Grinnell Mutual Reinsurance Company.
First Bank is proud to play a role in helping local businesses and farmers reach their financial goals. Hi, this is Chris Miller with First Bank. Our team of knowledgeable lenders can provide the expertise you need to properly finance, structure, and grow your operations. We can customize a plan specifically for you. Give us a call and let's talk. Serving you first. First Bank. Member FDIC.
It came on a night like any other, with power unlike anything else on Earth. Using beyond advanced active ingredients like bicyclopyrone, Acuron GT post-emergence corn herbicide is here to annihilate tough weeds. Advanced technology, enhanced control. Talk to your Syngenta retailer about Acuron GT. Always read and follow label instructions.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
There's no part of our bodies that put in more work than our feet. And with all that work, your feet can start to ache. But luckily, there's relief for our overworked feet. Skechers ArchFit footwear for men and women. Skechers teamed up with podiatrists to design a shoe that provides total foot and arch support for all-day comfort. They used 20 years of data and over 120,000 unweighted foot scans to create a podiatrist-certified insole that distributes support across the arch no matter what foot type you have. See all the styles of ArchFit footwear for men and women at Skechers.com, a Skechers store near you, or wherever stylish shoes are sold.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. At age 37, LeBron James is still considered an elite basketball player. At his age, LeBron is more susceptible to injuries, but his impact on the game is still the same. On Saturday, James dropped 56 in the Lakers' win over the Warriors, the win snapping a four-game losing streak for L.A. The Lakers can use any win they can get now. The team is still 7 games under 500, but the performance reminds you of just how special LeBron truly is. LeBron is averaging over 29 points per game. That puts him right behind Joel Embiid for the NBA scoring title. James's ridiculous night also made him just the fourth player to ever score 50 in a game past the age of 37. LeBron's greatness is nothing new, but it's been going on for almost 20 years now, and that's not normal. So instead of ridiculing James for the Lakers' failures this season, how about we just enjoy his greatness? But if James continues to age like this, we may actually have a lot more time to enjoy him. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. And now, a message from Discover about real rewards. If you're a loyal credit card customer, you should be rewarded for your loyalty, preferably with something that you actually want and something that you can actually use, something like Cashback Match. Discover matches all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year automatically, dollar for dollar, because when it comes to rewards, you can't go wrong with cash back. Finally, rewards that make sense. Discover. Exceptionally common sense. Learn more at discover.com/match. Limitations do apply.
Is your current home loan the right fit for you? Near historic low rates may be a great reason to refinance, but when matched with an expertly chosen loan from Loan Depot, you could be saving money and paying more towards the bottom line. Call a Loan Depot loan officer and ask about our 27-year smart term loan or our 10-year ARM loan. Get a great rate matched with a great loan by calling 866-888-LOAN or visit loandepot.com. At Loan Depot, home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing opportunity. NMLS number 174457. Licensed in all 50 states.
This is the home of Cole and Company. For the ride home, weekdays 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan, the Cedar Valley sports leader.
Welcome back for a final time. on this Monday. Got to thank John Walters of the Cyclone Radio Network for joining the show today. And you can listen to John once more on the Cyclone Coach's Corner for one last time this season. Last Coach's Corner of the 21-22 athletic season. 6:30 to 8 tonight. Right here on The Fan, you'll get a half hour of Zach Gelb prior to. A lot of college basketball coming up. Make sure you check out the broadcast calendar at 1650thefan.com. Have a great night, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.